All right, welcome to Spencerport Bible Church Mission Conference. Night number two, the youth had a good time last night, and tonight we're going to have some fun, and we're going to have some food. It's going to be a great time of fellowship as well. Rob, why don't you come on up? Does everyone know Rob Andres? Who has not met Rob Andres? You need to meet Rob. So there, these are the people you need to get around to later on, okay? They're kind of on this side. Rob, yeah, we've been supporting Rob and Sue for as long as we've been a church, I think, just about.
That's right.
Longer than I've been here. I remember that they were working in Dyerbrook, Maine. What Rob does is go to a place where a church has been and the church is not doing so well and needs to be revitalized, a place where there isn't a good Christian testimony in that area. And Rob goes in and rebuilds that church, evangelizes the area to bring new believers into that church. And brings it to a point where it's self-supporting, and then he moves on to another church. So you were Dyerbrook, Maine, and then you were in the Mohawk Valley. What was the name of the town again?
Mohawk.
Oh, it was Mohawk.
Denison Corners.
That's the one I couldn't remember. I was doing good. Mohawk. Good. And now he's in Olcott, which is really close. We should be visiting him more often than we do. But we're glad to have Rob here, and he's going to share with us tonight how things are going in Olcott and how we can evangelize.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Here we go.
Well, I just want to say, first of all, thank you for inviting us. I guess we were here about 2 years ago for the missions conference, and we just enjoy the fellowship here. We think back to when we first started. Thank you, Jim. When we first started out back in 1982 is when I got saved, and we started getting involved in a local church. And it was a missionary church with the American Mission for Opening Churches. And my wife and I were determined that we were going to be busy in the local church. We wanted to serve the Lord. And you know, it's my pleasure tonight to have my wife with me, Sue, and three of my five children. Two of them are already pretty well grown. Actually, three of them are pretty well out of the house and grown up. Megan's in her second year of college. And near the home, so she travels back and forth. And Bob's a senior this year, and Mary's a sophomore this year. So it's great. They didn't even complain about coming. You know, that's a good thing, definitely. I started to say we wanted to really be involved in a local church. I got so involved. I was involved with different aspects of the church because I knew that God wanted to use me. As a matter of fact, He wants to use all of us in great ways. It doesn't matter who you are. He wants to use you in great ways. And if we would just allow God to do that, He will do that. I think that's a wonderful thing about God. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care how bad your background was. He can use you right where you are for His glory. And that's all we wanted. We wanted to be used of God. So we got extremely involved in our home church in Swanville. And there was a pastor there named Jim Evans. And some of you know him very well. Too well, probably. Some of you. But we were there, and I learned an awfully lot. I learned a lot about the Lord through His ministry. And I really got excited. And I remember asking Pastor Jim once, How do you reach out to people? Give me something that I can use just to start off every conversation to reach people for Christ. And he said, there's not just one way to do it. And I found that to be so true. And the theme for your missions conference is evangelizing, and I want to encourage you in that area. But I remember thinking, I just have such a burden. And I just wanted to tell people this great news, you know, and I found out that sharing the gospel is a privilege that we have as believers, and that it's a personal thing. It really is. The Bible says that He has called us to be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And as a witness, we share personally and show the world personally what we are in Christ. That's evangelism. It's you going where God has you and presenting Christ with not just your words, but with your life. And I think that's so important. Because sometimes we think evangelism is just sharing words, but if your life doesn't back up what your words are saying, it's really not going to amount to much. I'll just share this with you. When I first got saved, my life didn't back up my words. I remember talking to my buddies when I first got saved about Jesus and their need to repent or else they would go to hell and they would burn forever. And some of them shook like this and said a simple prayer that I led them in. And I walked away from there and threw away my beer bottle. And you know what? My life didn't back it up and there wasn't much fruit in some of those guys that I talked to. I really feel bad about that. But the truth of the matter is our life needs to back up what we're saying. It's personal, but by no means is it private. You can't keep the gospel to yourself. You can't keep it to yourself. Well, my wife and I, while we were working in that local church, and I was on the missions committee, and I love that, and I was an usher. I was a head usher in church, and I was part of a music group. I played bass guitar, and things were busy. We had our first child, and things were really busy then. And we were just so involved in the local church. And then one night, as we were attending our missions conference, the Lord really spoke to my heart about full-time service. And I said, Lord, isn't this full-time service in a local church? Well, technically, yes. You can serve full-time in your local church. You can serve in great ways in your local church. But God had a special call on my life. He wanted me to go from that missions conference to be a missionary. And I said, Lord, please, I'd love to be your missionary, but Lord, that means schooling, education. I got saved in 82. That was 1985. God called me into full-time service. And I really got excited about the possibility, but I didn't like the thought of going to school. Really, I'd had college. I'd graduated from college, and it was just more school. And the worst thing, writing papers. Oh, brother, please. But my wife, she stood with me, and we decided that that's what God had called us to do. And so immediately we were told about a little Bible Institute out in western New York, Elohim Bible Institute. And we decided that we would check that out. And when we walked in with Pastor Evans, he went just like this. He took a deep breath, just like that, because this school was heated with wood. And you could smell the potash. This was the middle of the summer, or early in the summer. Said, ah, this would be a great place to study. It was one building, and I think Sue cried because it was so small and so rustic. But I want to tell you something. We got a great education there, a super education. I wish the school was still around the way it was when we were there. I think we were the last best class at Elohim Bible Institute. Shortly thereafter, they had some problems, and they've since closed the doors as far as the Bible Institute goes. But we studied for 3 years and immediately left there and stepped into full-time ministry. We graduated in May. In June, I went to a church and spoke, and they called us in July and said, we'd love to have you come. And in August, actually, when they called and said, we'd love to have you come, I hung up the phone and I said, oh, wow. This is real. I'm going to be a pastor and a missionary pastor at that. I'm going to be going to a little church and I'm going to be hopefully helping that church. I thought, wow, I don't know if I can do this. And we moved up to Dyer Brook, Maine in August of 1988. And we began our work there. The end of the earth. Literally, at the top of the earth, almost. Seemed like, anyway. And it was cold. I was reminiscing about that even today. Somebody mentioned something. I said, man, I remember that. 51 degrees below zero. Oh boy, was it cold up there. But you know what? The Lord blessed. And in 8 years, we saw that church flourishing, and we knew it was time for us to move on. And the church is strong today, and we praise the Lord for that. We moved from there to central New York, where we began our second work at Denison Corners, as has been mentioned. And we loved our years there. We got to know a great group of people there. And after 8 years again, it was almost six, but it ended up being 8 years, we saw that church become self-supporting. And since then, we've moved up to Olcott, New York, where we've been there for just over 3 years now. And the work up there is slow. I don't understand it. It's a hard place. Olcott itself is a little fishing village with a lot of debauchery. A lot of things come there. They have a big pirates festival every year. And they have car shows every Saturday night. And people, they have the polar bear swim in March. And Sue and I were walking down. It's a Sunday afternoon. We walked down there, and Sue couldn't hardly get out of there fast enough with all that was going on down there. It was bad. It was really bad. And it's just a difficult place. But God is blessing. God is blessing, and He's doing wonderful things. And for that, we're thankful. We're very thankful. You know, as we just minister and share the gospel, as we go and share with people, we're seeing God do His work. That's what we need to be doing. And the church is growing. I thought it was going to just bust out and grow quick. But God has different plans. It's got to be in His time. That's what we realize throughout our whole life. God has His time. It's up to you and I to be faithful. And I think that's the key. We thank this church for being faithful in our ministry. Sometimes things are very tough and tight, and Spence Port has always been there. When we went to Elohim Bible Institute, we came down here and I filled in a few times, wet behind the ears. I mean, I was so young in the Lord, and I remember being nervous. And at that time, they were meeting in the storefront downtown, and there were two services, so I had to preach twice the same message. And boy, was I nervous. I was really nervous. And the Lord just blessed from there. We got to know that initial group that began this work here. What a wonderful group of people that was. And that group, and now the church is behind us and has sent us forth to do a work for you. And for that, we're thankful. And we want to have much fruit in eternity for you. Some of the highlights this summer, each summer since we've been there, we proclaimed to the church that we were going to have a ministry during the summer to a local county fair. If you haven't heard about the fair ministry, I want you to pick up your ears and listen, because this is a ministry that any local church, if you have something in your area, a county fair or perhaps the canal days or whatever it might be an opportunity for you to share the gospel. I wish tonight I had brought one of our sticks, but what we do is it's called a walking stick ministry. And it's under the hospice, really under the umbrella of a group called the Fellowship of Christian Farmers. And what they do is they allow the local churches to take on this ministry if they want to share the simplicity of the gospel. I don't know if you know that or not, but the gospel is very simple. It's very simple. Did you know that you can share the gospel in just a few moments? It really doesn't take a whole lot of theology to share the gospel. It really doesn't. It just takes your effort, your heart's desire, prayer behind it, and a willingness to serve the Lord and to share the good news. What are the essences of the good news? What do men have to know about themselves in the good news? You tell me. That's right. First of all, mankind is sinner. We're sinners, every one of us. We were born this way. We have a sinful nature. People need to know that. Secondly, what do they need to know? That's right, and it comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And if people are willing to recognize Jesus as the one who came and shed his blood, died on the cross, and 3 days after that rose again, that's the gospel in a nutshell, they can be completely forgiven, they can be completely cleansed, and they can begin to have eternal life at that moment with him, to grow in this age until we're finally in heaven with him. What we do at the fair is we use the wordless story, in essence. And how many of you are familiar with the wordless story? The various colors. There's gold, there's black, there's red, there's white, and there's green. Five basic colors. You take those five colors, and what we do is we just open up and we share. We first of all, we invite people to come and hear the gospel. We invite them by offering them something free. Isn't it always great to get something free? Free's good. You know what? Most people say, there's nothing free in this world. And some people even balk at that and say, oh, I see, you're going to waste my time by bringing me in a tent. That does cost me something. You know, some people, I'm amazed, people walk by this tent and you say, would you like a free walk? And they go, oh, yeah. And they go to reach for it. We say, we just need a few moments of your time. Well, we don't have any time. You know, we're at the county fair. They're walking around in the fair, and they don't have a few moments of time to spare. I don't understand that. Do you? It just doesn't make any sense. But a lot of people say that, and I'll tell them, well, if you get a few moments, come back. But we're here at the fair, and we ask them if they would like these free items. It's not just walking sticks. We have rulers and yardsticks and bracelets and we've had spatulas, and we've had all kinds of things that might just catch somebody's eye. But the reason we want to get them is we want to catch their heart with the good news. And so we invite them to come in the tent, and we sit down with these beads, and we begin by saying, you know, God loves you very much, and He wants you to spend eternity with Him in a place called heaven. And isn't that true? Before we came up here, my wife and I were trying to finish up at a luncheon for a funeral that we had. A fellow in our church, his mom passed away. She was 83, and she didn't outlive her aunt, who was 103, but she came pretty close. But we had this funeral, and I emphasized the fact that, you know, the Lord truly loves us. So much He wants us to spend eternity with Him. He does. And therefore, if we're willing to recognize these things that we're going to share with you, you can go to heaven. And we go through the story and we tell them that they're sinners. And that Jesus came and He died for them and rose again for them. And He's alive forevermore and He can cleanse your sins. He can wash you as white as snow. He can make you pure. He can make you fit for heaven. And He wants you to begin to grow right now and understand as much as you can about Him. And then we go back and we ask this simple question. If you were to die right now, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Right there, the conflict comes. Some people will say, oh yeah, I'm 100% sure, so there's no conflict. They know, and you can tell. Others will say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I think I'll go. I hope so. I wonder sometimes. You hear all kinds of things. I'm Catholic. You know, I've heard that one many times up there. There are many, many excuses or reasons why people think they're going to heaven. But as I emphasized this afternoon, there's only one way to heaven. And Jesus said it very clearly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. It's the only way to heaven. We were encouraged. We passed out probably close to 1,500 walking sticks plus rulers and yardsticks and bracelets and whatnot. I would say probably close to 2,500 to 3,000 people we talked to at the fair from Wednesday to Sunday. And sharing this simple message of the gospel. Everyone needs to hear the gospel in order to get something. So every one of those people heard the gospel. Out of the close to 3,000 that heard it, we had just about 250 people that made decisions for Christ. Now, that doesn't seem like a very good percentage. But I want to tell you what, if we're at the fair, and I believe this with all my heart, if we spend our life for the Lord and one person, one soul gets saved, I want to ask you, do you think it's worth it? It's worth it. It's worth it. One soul's worth it. One soul's worth you giving your life in service to the Lord for some reason, whether it's going to your neighbor or whatever, some function the church might have. If they would ever consider doing this particular thing at the canal days, if they could get in there or someplace around to share the gospel, get involved, because one soul is worth it. And when you see many souls coming to Christ, it is such a blessing. It really is. It is such a blessing. Now, we also really put on, one year Spenceport came up and helped us with a day with our kids, and then we had VBS, and another group came in and assisted us with a VBS last year. This year, we did our own Vacation Bible School, and we had pretty good attendance. We had a couple of kids that got saved, and it was just an exciting time for the church, for them to see that they can do things like that too, and they can do them well, and they did very well. And we were excited about Vacation Bible School, and the Lord is blessing. We have new folks coming, and again, I wish we had more new folks coming more often, and I wish people would come and stay. Some do, some don't, but that's just the way it is. In that area, I guess, but God does want to do, and He is doing great things. I had a couple of thoughts from the Scriptures that I wanted to share with you as well, and just take a few moments. Proverbs chapter 18, if you have a Bible, you could turn to that, Proverbs chapter 18. I've encouraged our folks to read through Proverbs once a month, and they've done that for the last 2 years, most of them have, And I told them that if they read the Proverbs and really read them diligently, they'll get wiser. And so if you want to get wiser, you can start off by reading the Proverbs, and you can take a proverb a day, and for those 31-day months, you can read them all in a month. And then you start all over the next month, and you'll be amazed at what you capture and gain and glean from the Proverbs. But this verse always kind of stuck out at me, and I know this verse can hold several meanings as far as things go, but here in verse 21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." I don't know if you realize it or not, but within the power of the tongue, we know the tongue is something that the Scriptures say in the book of James, it can't be tamed. It's a fire, a world of iniquity. It can mess things up. You know as well as I do that this tongue can mess things up really big. And you know what? We're about to have a fellowship supper, which I think church fellowship suppers are the best. The ladies of the church are the best cooks in the world. That's for sure. And I bet your tongues are saying, I can't wait to taste that food. Huh? Well, I'm going to get through this pretty quickly, so we'll be able to get to that. But what else is in the power of the tongue are words. Words that can bring either life or death. And I want you to think about that tonight, just in this brief time that we have. What we say in any situation can really cause life or death. And I want you to think about that in terms of your everyday life, perhaps when you go to work. And as you go to work, you know, perhaps that day, that morning, you didn't have such a good morning, and you're in the presence of somebody that's watching you. They know that you're a member of the Spenceport Bible Church, and they've been watching you for a while, but this particular morning, you come in and all of a sudden something comes out of your mouth that just strikes them as being something that perhaps we shouldn't hear from a Christian. Now, some people might say, well, you know, it doesn't matter what people think. Let me emphasize, it does matter what people think. It really does. It matters greatly what people think about our Savior. And we are here to emulate our Savior. We are here to show forth our Savior. And in our daily life, we use our tongues, don't we? How many of you go to work and don't say a word? How many of you go to school and don't say a word? How many of you go a whole day without saying a word? Nobody. We all speak, don't we? And our words have power in them, the power of life and the power of death. And it's up to us to realize this in our daily life. We can encourage or we can discourage with our tongues. We must be on guard constantly for these tongues. We must submit our tongues to the Lord and say, Lord, use this tongue for life. Use it for your glory. Use it for your honor. Use it in ways that were beyond me. Remind me of things that I can say from your word that can be an encouragement to somebody, or a thought, perhaps, or a concept, or a truth, or a theology, whatever you want to call it. Lord, use this tongue for your glory. Use it, Lord, for life. And in thinking about tonight, you know, the harvest truly is plenteous, the laborers are few. God's looking for people who would use their life and use their tongues to spread His word, to spread His gospel throughout the world. And we need to look for opportunities, and perhaps sometimes we need to create opportunities. We need to have events where we can just go out and share the gospel. We need to take full opportunity in the time in which we live. One of the things that really got me in the ministry, especially into church planting, we're with a group called Church Planters to America. It's been around for about 11 years now. We were with the American Mission for Opening Churches before that time. And one of the reasons why I felt so compelled here is because of my roots. I wonder if that little church was closed in our community, if I never would have heard the gospel, and where would I be today? If that little church wasn't there, that was growing, that vibrant little church with a missionary in it, and God really spoke to my heart and said, I want you to go and tell the world about me. And when I went to Bible school, you know, I was ready to go anywhere. And I was challenged. I was excited about everywhere. I was willing to go anywhere. I was excited about everywhere. When a missionary would come to school, man, and share about different needs, I thought, wow, that's it. And then I get real excited about it, and that just wasn't that peace there. And then when America came up as a potential mission field, I said, Lord, are you sure? Are you sure about this? And there was this peace, though, inside me that this is what God wanted me to do. And I think this church caught that vision. This church also had the same type of roots. And it started with a handful of people that wanted to share the gospel in Spencerport, New York. And look what it is today. Praise the Lord. Look at what it is today. I just want to say thank you for all your love, all your support, all your prayers, because without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. And we just appreciate Spencerport Bible Church. It's one of our top supporting churches. And without you, we would be crippled financially, but also in ministry, because we couldn't do what God's called us to do. But we thank each of you for your care for our family over the years. Like I said, when we first came to Bible school, the church started supporting us way back then. And we do love this church, and it seems like coming back home for us. So we just want to say thank you very, very much.